The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
. 89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
We need Greenland for national security purposes. I've been told that for a long time, long before I even ran. I mean, people have been talking about it for a long time. You have approximately 45,000 people there. People really don't even know if Denmark has any legal right to it. But if they do, they should give it up because we need it for national security. That's for the free world. I'm talking about protecting the free world. You look at, you don't even need binoculars. You look outside, you have China ships all over the place. You have Russian ships all over the place. We're not letting that happen. We're not letting it happen. And if Denmark wants to get to a conclusion, but nobody knows if they even have any right title or interest, the people are going to probably vote for independence or to come into the United States.
Donald Trump, that's from today. That's from the last hour. He says people don't even know if Greenland, what did he say, right title or interest, which sounds to me like words that are in contracts that are bigger than I'm dealing with right now in my life. Welcome into the Annie Fry Show, 97.1. We're happy to have you here. Happy New Year once again. We carried the press conference that Donald Trump gave. He was talking about a big business deal, investment that had been made, and very exciting, continuing to hear about these people who are investing in our country. From Fox News right now, President-elect Trump addresses the nation for the first time since the certification of his November election victory on Tuesday. Trump held a press conference at his Mar-a-Lago home just one day after Congress and Vice President Kamala Harris certified his Electoral College victory. Trump took the opportunity to announce $20 billion in new data centers across the country. More opportunity now to hear about people who are interested in investing in the United States of America, in making sure that the United States of America is a place where things happen. And that is very much so something that I can see just right. We're right at the precipice of dramatic change in the United States. And I, for one, am very excited to hear it. Brad, the YouTube live chat poll for today, should America pursue acquiring Greenland in some capacity, yes or no? He said right there, he's like, I don't even know if Denmark has the ability, the rights to have Greenland, that the Greenland people, which I read yesterday, and Ryan's really the one who tipped us off, 56,000 people, I think, is the population.
So, yeah, I've heard 56, 57, and 68.
All right, so ish.
Not a lot.
Yeah, not a lot. Not even in the six figures, the entire country of Greenland. Donald Trump has spoken regularly about how it is a militaristic stronghold for the United States should they be able to utilize the geography of Greenland. What, when you hear Donald Trump talking about this, what is your initial thought on the possibility that Greenland could be in play?
Good. That's my thought. Good. I want them to go after, because I think that there's things like rare earth minerals and stuff like that that's in Greenland that would be very valuable to the United States. I think the thing that people fail to realize is how big of a role China is actually playing in the world and how much China wants to be right where we are as top dog in the world. China believes it's their right. I think I heard somebody, I think it was Jack Posobiec, he said that China's name in Mandarin is actually the Central Kingdom. And when they use that word central, they mean they want to be the middle of everything, in the center of everything. They want everything to revolve around them. Well, they have a big abundance of rare earth minerals, and that's useful in the tech industry. It's useful in military development. It's useful in all of that stuff. And we don't want to get surpassed by them. Well, Greenland has a lot. So rather than having to try to source our stuff from China, we can have it ourselves. Funny story. Russia's the biggest biggest producer of titanium. When they built the SR-71 Blackbird, which is a spy plane that they used to spy on Russia, they had to get the titanium from Russia to spy on Russia, and so they had to lie to Russia about why they were buying so much titanium. So we don't want to be in that situation with China because it's a lot harder to lie with the information and the hacking and all the stuff that goes on in these days. So I'm very much in favor of going and getting Greenland, whether it just be the mineral rights or if we get the land or whatever it is. I'm a huge fan and proponent of getting Greenland in some capacity.
It didn't really have Donald Trump coming in to office and being interested in changing the map. That's not something that, when we were talking about lowering the cost of groceries and gasoline, securing the border, trying to make sure that we are safe and secure in a country that looks like, or in a world that looks like it's potentially on the precipice of World War III. I wasn't also thinking, maybe we could acquire new land. Maybe we could change the barriers and the borders of the United States of America. Not only are we going to reinforce the borders that we have, but maybe we'll expand them. There's actual conversation taking place right now about Canada as the 51st state. Yesterday, Justin Trudeau came over or delivered the news that he was going to resign. And in his resignation, he talks about how he is not able to facilitate the Liberal Party that he represents without the intra-fighting. Do you remember it was not too terribly long ago that you got to see Justin Trudeau sitting at Mar-a-Lago joking with Donald Trump about the potential of being the governor of the 51st state? That's what Donald Trump's response was. That, to me, was kind of like funny. Ha, ha, look at how bombastic Donald Trump. You could just tell that Donald Trump, it's like he just won the Super Bowl. He's strutting around. He's feeling good. That feeling, you always look back on that moment with excitement and with pleasure. But 6 months, 8 months, years down the road, winning the Super Bowl feels different when it's that far back in history. So you have a little bit of strut when you do something like that. Justin Trudeau coming to, what's the phrase that I said we were going to ban in 2025? Kiss the ring in Mar-a-Lago. And all of a sudden, Trump's like, you know what we should do? Canada should become the 51st state. You know what else we should do? We should make Justin Trudeau the governor of it. Then we could work together wonderfully. You know what we should do? We should acquire in some way, shape, or form Greenland. The other thing that he's saying right now, and I'm not 100% sure that I have the clip on this, and we'll get it later in the show in the event that we don't. But they're talking about, and we heard it at the top of the hour with the Fox News update. You know that the side of Florida, the westward side of Florida, where you go swimming there, the Gulf is warm, right? The Atlantic is cold. The Gulf is warm, correct?
Yes.
What do we call that? The Gulf of Mexico. Trump's like, why wouldn't we call it the Gulf of America? That is mind-blowing to me that you would look at the Gulf of Mexico and be like, it should be called America. But Donald Trump does these things. Then you go a little bit further south, and he talked about this a lot today, and he's talking about the Panama Canal, and he's talking about the terrible deal that America has with what's going on in the Panama Canal, and he's like, we should take it back. Jimmy Carter, who is currently lying in state right now in the United States Capitol, he criticizes Jimmy Carter and says that that was one of the worst deals ever. You hand over the Panama Canal for $1, and what do you get? Right now, we have China controlling the intake and the output of the Panama Canal, and everybody gets a different deal, and the United States gets the worst. So these are bombastic things that Donald Trump is saying, but what you might get in this conversation that that is taking place before he has even taken the oath of office is the possibility that we get a much, much, much better deal through the Panama Canal. Maybe we don't end up taking it back, but the deal gets done. And he basically moves the goalposts so that you can make progress without having to go as far as what he's saying. You move the goalposts so that when you have to give a little, when you have to sacrifice a little, when you have to compromise a little, America still gets what they want. And we do that without having to physically take the Panama Canal. That's kind of genius, if you ask me. Greenland is sitting over there, potentially controlled by Denmark. We think it's controlled by Denmark. I think the whole world has agreed for quite a while that it is part of Denmark territory. And while they're sitting over there, Donald Trump is saying, I don't think that anyone can prove necessarily, at least they haven't yet to me, can prove that Denmark is the rightful, what, owner, controlee, whatever, of this area in Greenland. He's like, I would like to see proof on that. And he's looking at Greenland as if it's some sort of stronghold for the United States military to move in. Now, maybe it doesn't end up that the United States takes full control of Greenland, but what if the United States is able to broker quite a wonderful deal that we can put military strongholds in Greenland and we don't have to take Greenland away from Denmark or whatever it might be? What if we don't actually acquire Canada as the 51st state, which I don't think that Justin Trudeau is going to be running for governor. What if we don't actually annex them, but we get much better trade deals with them? We get much better reciprocal participation where we aren't, if you listen to what Donald Trump says, subsidizing the existence of Canada. You hear these people are going to, if it hasn't happened already, it'd blow my mind. But you could go on X or you could go to whatever liberal social media accounts exist that I'm not on and I don't need another social media account to manage. You go over there and I bet that they are saying Donald Trump has lost his mind. He's looking to conquer the Western Hemisphere and they're completely missing the point. Because the first thing that they come into any conversation that has to do with Donald Trump, the first thing that they come into that conversation is that they can't stand Donald Trump and that he is a raging lunatic. And whatever happens today, they will contort in a way that makes what they came into the conversation proven true. They already have the ends determined and they will figure out whatever they need to do to bob and weave between today's news stories to figure out how today's news stories subsidize what they already knew to be true. That's the way they function. The cool thing about this is that in 2025, it doesn't much matter. It doesn't much matter if people are freaking out over his talk about the potential of acquiring Greenland, of making Canada the 51st state. There is an actual question in today's press conference to the president-elect of the United States about whether or not Donald Trump was interested in taking Canada by military force. There was a real question posed to the guy who is about to take the oath of office here in a few short days. Are you interested in taking Canada by force? This is where we are right now. And it was a wonderful question because it gave Donald Trump the opportunity to say no. And then what does he say? By economic force. he's like, oh, absolutely not. He's like, are you crazy? I'd totally take it by economic force. That's not the direct quote, but it's close. He sets the parameters for the deal to be done. He sets the boundaries. And he goes so far in what he's asking, because when he compromises, when he performs the art of the deal, he's not going to, I don't think he's going to take all of those places. I don't know which ones are going to end up United States territory or possession of America. I don't know. But my understanding of how this man works is he works in deals. And he is unafraid to take the deal by the horns and drive that sucker as far as it needs to go so he can get the deal that he wants. The difference is, and I believe this wholeheartedly, and right now I invite you to believe this with me, and a lot of people who hate Donald Trump are not going to believe this at all. I believe that he's making these deals in the best interest of the United States of America. I don't think it's Donald Trump driven. Now, if he gets all of these deals done, is it going to inflate the ego of a man who already has an enormous ego? Of course it is. But I don't care if it's what's best for the United States of America. Because you know why? You know why? This is the fun part. This is the fun part to look and assess the people who are on the Trump derangement syndrome spectrum, maybe for all of time. The incredibly ironic part about all of this, if Donald Trump gets these deals done for the United States of America, for you, if he gets these deals done and improves the economic position of the United States here on the home front, but also globally, and it makes Donald Trump look real good, and Donald Trump knows it makes him look real good, this is the fun part. The people who live to despise Donald Trump, and you see them on TV, the reason why it grates at them so much is because it hurts their ego. They are disgusted by the egomaniac in chief, the guy who's going to take the oath of office here and be the president of the United States shortly. They are disgusted by his ego. And the reason why they're disgusted by it is because it hurts their ego. So who's the egomaniac? Because the result of Donald Trump's brazen measures is improving the United States of America. And I don't even really need to say that's my opinion. Look at the opinion of the American people. Donald Trump, in 2016 to 2020, dramatically improved the amount of support that he had in votes. And then he did it again in 2024, amidst all of the pressure that this man has been under, against all of the lies and the hoaxes and the fake news that this man has had to face. In the face of all of it, America has said, we're picking him. And the people's egos who cannot help this, everything they do and say is about them. It's not about you. Ironically, Donald Trump aims to help this country, to help Americans, to do so first. And if it makes him look good on along the way, he is A-okay with that. He is unapologetic for it. And the egomaniacs that just continue cycle after cycle after cycle to lose, their ego cannot handle it. Which is fine with me. Because they're not in it for me. They're in it for them. We'll cover more of that throughout the course of the show. A huge, long press conference that Donald Trump gave from Mar-a-Lago today. We'll talk more about that here in a bit. We have Greg Jarrett coming on the show next. Excited to talk to Fox News' legal analyst about the legal challenges facing Donald Trump. A sentencing, what, Friday? Just in the nick of time. What does all of this mean for the legal challenges that Donald Trump faces? How is he going to fare through this? Once he's sentenced, we've said this many times, he'll be that title of convicted felon will suit him. What is the process set up for Donald Trump, the president-elect of the United States? Greg Jarrett will tell us.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
When we come back,
we're going to do everything possible to make this transition to the new administration very smooth. It's not smooth because they're doing that. They're playing with the courts, as you know. They've been playing with the courts for 4 years, probably got me more votes because I got the highest number of votes ever gotten by a Republican, by far, actually, by a lot. And, you know, we had a great election, so I guess it didn't work. But they're, even to this day, they're playing with the courts, have their friendly judges that like to try and make everybody happy on the Democrat side. It's called lawfare. It's called weaponization of justice. And it's happened at a level nobody's ever seen before.
That's Donald Trump from today, that long press conference that he had. The lawfare that Donald Trump has been under has been quite magnificent. And watching and seeing how he has been able to navigate this, he talked a lot today also about the fact that he's under this gag order and he is in a position right now where he can't even talk about the things that he's been charged with in that Mershon case. But we have sentencing happening here on Friday, and that's an interesting timing, don't you think? President-elect, soon to be president, but quick, let's fit in a sentencing for that wild case in New York. Let's talk to Greg Jarrett once again, Fox News legal analyst, former defense attorney and law professor. His book also, The Constitution and Other Patriotic Documents, a must get. Greg Jarrett, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you here.
Good to be with you, Annie.
When you heard that Judge Mershon was going to go through that sentencing on January 10th, were you surprised by that?
No, not at all. You know, it's abundantly clear that Judge Juan Mershon really doesn't care about the law. He cares about damaging Donald Trump in any way he can. And I think this move by him to squeeze in a sentencing just before inauguration is yet another example. He wants to stain Trump with the label convicted felon. But to do that under the law, Trump has to first be sentenced. So, you know, Mershon, not so cleverly and quite obviously, dangled what he thought would be a tempting, tantalizing offer, show up for sentencing either virtually or in person on Friday. And I promise you there will be no incarceration or probation or fine or anything at all. You know, I will give you a complete unconditional discharge. Well, you know, Trump is not going to bite, and he didn't. He shouldn't. You know, he was found guilty by a biased jury of crimes that don't even exist under the law. He was all but framed by a politically driven DA, Alvin Bragg, who then worked in concert with the activist, hostile judge, Juan Mershon, who was actually required to recuse himself under ethical guidelines, but refused to do it. He had a severe disqualifying conflict of interest. The whole thing was a sham trial. This legal theory that Bragg advanced to a gullible and biased jury was convoluted and incoherent. It was utterly absurd. And then the judge compounded all of it with a host of reversible errors. Eventually, I think this case will get overturned. But for now, you know, Trump continues to fight any sentencing. In fact, his lawyers in the last hour were in the appellate court in New York seeking a stay. It's not going to happen by this particular judge, Associate Justice Ellen Gessmer. She's just like Juan Mershon and so many other New York judges. And it was clear from the question she asked that she's not going to grant a stay. The question is, you know, is she going to wait till the 11th hour to issue that ruling? Maybe. She should issue it right away so that then Trump's lawyers can go to an even higher court.
So I've read some legal reaction to this, and they're talking about, while, yes, he could be sentenced on Friday, you made the point, I think is a very important one, that Mershon's like, it's not going to be a big deal at all. Whatever I sentence you to, he's not going to jail. It's not going to be crazy like that. But the sentencing still will take place, that the actual process of moving through that step of sentencing does put the ball in Trump's court to continue the appeal process maybe quicker. Maybe I'm not even saying that correct, but I'd like you to speak to that if you could.
No, you are, and it's a bit tricky and complicated. Let's assume that the trial itself was rife with reversible errors by the judge, mistakes made by the DA. None of that can be challenged until there is a sentencing. So, you know, in some ways, if Trump is sentenced on Friday and gets this unconditional discharge, in other words, no punishment whatsoever, he benefits, because only after that sentencing does the clock begin to run and he is entitled to appeal the case on the merits, with one exception. Trump's legal team has said that the case should be tossed out because the judge, in allowing all kinds of prejudicial evidence that's protected by the Supreme Court's newly enunciated immunity standard, all of that was prohibited, shouldn't have been introduced. That immunity issue is immediately appealable right now, effective last Friday, when Mershon issued his final rejection of motion to dismiss on immunity. So I hope I've explained it in an understandable way, but it's very complicated. So, you know, there are appellate recourse motions to be made immediately only on immunity. Everything else has to wait until sentencing on Friday, assuming it takes place.
Well, we are very grateful to be speaking with Greg Jarrett, the Fox News legal analyst, somebody who can give us the facts of the matter. A lot of people politically have been very interested in these cases, the lawfare, so to speak. But the legalese of it, it's complicated, like you said. And for a lot of people watching, what they want is justice, probably on both sides. But I think definitely people who've been watching Donald Trump endure what he has been put through right now, they want to see justice. They want to see fairness and, you know, equal opportunity for people to be fettered through the justice system and come out with a just verdict. Can you tell me, in your opinion, at this point in time, can't undo anything that has been done, Greg Jarrett, to you, what would justice look like for Donald Trump?
Well, he's already won the lawfare war that was waged against him. Four criminal indictments, two by Jack Smith in federal court, Washington and Florida, and then Fonnie Willis in Georgia and Alvin Bragg in New York. Now, I say he's won the war because three of those cases are essentially over. The only one that went to trial was Alvin Bragg, and Americans in a resounding way said, we don't care what that jury said. We don't care what you accused Donald Trump of. You know, I think the American voters recognized this for what it was. This was, you know, lawfare, the weaponization of the law to try to destroy Joe Biden's and then Kamala Harris's political opponent. And it had the opposite effect. You know, many Americans recognized it was a sham trial with a preordained outcome, entirely politically driven, unconscionable, an abuse of the law. And it drove a lot of voters to Trump's side. And he won, you know, decisively on November 5th. So, as I say, you know, all of these cases which were supposed to, you know, put Trump in an orange jumpsuit failed, and I think failed spectacularly.
Greg Jarrett, speaking with us right now, Fox News legal analyst, you talked a little bit about the Alvin Bragg, the DA, the everything that was going on in New York. But we've heard stories that allege that maybe there was some collusion that took place across all of these different charges against Donald Trump. Do we have factual evidence that this was orchestrated across cases to try to get Donald Trump?
Well, there are some smoking gun documents. And I'll give you just one example. In the Fulton County Fannie Willis case, her paramour, whom she hired and paid an absurd amount of money, one of his billing statements references two visits to the White House and 8 hours each. Nathan Wade. And, you know, think about this. This is, you know, a local prosecutor for hire in Georgia. And for the first time in his life, he goes to the White House not once but twice. And when he was forced to answer questions in a deposition, he said, gee golly whiz, I don't remember what that was all about. Yeah, I can't really listen. If you're a guy like Nathan Wade and you go to the White House,
you know,
you're going to remember,
you know,
every moment, every discussion. And so, you know, he's obstructing. Is he committing perjury? Sure seems like it to me. That's just one example of the coordination between one lawfare case and Joe Biden's White House. And there are other indications, for example, in the Alvin Bragg case, the chief prosecutor who tried the case, where did he come from? Joe Biden's Department of Justice. He was one of Biden's hand-selected prosecutors at the DOJ, and he resigned to take the case against Donald Trump. So was that coordination with the DOJ? Sure seems like it.
It does. Greg Jarrett, one last question before we let you go. This was a little bit of news that took place late this morning. A federal judge on Tuesday temporarily blocked special counsel Jack Smith from releasing his report relating to his now suspended investigations into Donald Trump. That's the Fox News report. What are the implications of Jack Smith being withheld from releasing probably a smear job on Donald Trump? What would this report have had in it? And why did Judge Cannon say, nope, you're not going to do that?
Well, Judge Cannon said, you're not going to do that because it's unfair. The case was dismissed. And, you know, I'm not going to allow you, at least under my authority, to publish a report containing a lot of unfounded and unproven allegations. Now, as a practical matter, A, nobody gives a damn, and B, most of what may seem incriminating was wrongfully released by Jack Smith in court documents and then leaked to the American public just before the election. So I don't think there would be a lot of surprises in there. But, you know, it's yet another example of how Merrick Garland's corrupt Department of Justice and Jack Smith, the illegally appointed, unconstitutionally appointed special counsel, have, you know, tried to target Trump for political reasons. And it's more of the same thing.
Greg Jarrett, we're so grateful for you. Thank you for lending your legal expertise for our listeners today. There's going to be a lot to talk about continuing throughout 2025. And we always appreciate your time with us. Thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure, Annie. Take care.
You as well. Bye-bye. Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst, former defense attorney and law professor. His book, good grief, get this book. It's like sums everything up together all in one place. The Constitution and Other Patriotic Documents by Greg Jarrett. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Ethan is in today for Ryan Wiggins, who's taken a few days off here. And we'll talk to him about whatever he has for Wiggins America. How does he phrase it? Handsomer, better and handsomer or something?
Something like that.
I don't know.
Failing upward and forward?
Yeah. Up on advice from Ryan Wiggins himself. We'll get Ethan in here to do a little Wiggins America chat. When we come back, come vote on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. We'd love to see you there. Make 2025, the year you start hanging out with us and actually jumping into the conversation on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat. Should America pursue acquiring Greenland in some capacity? What do you think? Yes or no? Annie Fry YouTube channel, we're broadcasting live right there. And in the live chat of the live broadcast, you can vote. Ethan in for Wiggins America next. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. We appreciate you spending some time with us and getting into the news. The cycle that we have been watching right now has been breakneck pace. We saw Donald Trump at the press conference at Mar-a-Lago earlier, and we were watching. We aired the press conference. I don't think we took the questions on 97.1, but one of the things he talked about was the Gulf of Mexico. Now, you know the Gulf of Mexico. We all know the Gulf of Mexico. He would like to make a change.
We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, which has a beautiful ring that covers a lot of territory. The Gulf of America, what a beautiful name. And it's appropriate. It's appropriate.
This is AI, right?
This is not AI. This is real. This happened. And I am dramatically amused by it. Again, going back to what I said earlier, there are people who are going to come out of their skin when they hear that Donald Trump would have the balls to change the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. There are a million places where countries refer to areas with different names.
Yeah, how do you even, I mean, I'm trying to figure out how you, I guess, change that. Like, what is the process to change that to the Gulf of America?
I don't know.
Say, hey, Mexico, you're going to have to call this the Gulf of America now. Is that, like, what is the process outside of, like, for your own country?
He's probably going to allow them to continue to call it the Gulf of Mexico in exchange for border security. That's a win. That's a win. It's so funny to me. If and it's so funny to me.
It's going
to
be the American Ocean now, guys, not the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, exactly. It makes me probably sinfully giddy inside because we have been losing for so long. It has been so painful for the last 4 years to watch Joe Biden come out and in many cases say the stupidest things because they're just stupid things. He doesn't know. Oh, gosh. We're going to play later. I don't know, Ethan, if you saw this since you were out yesterday. Did you see the happy birthday song?
No,
don't look it up. we're gonna do that.
Trump changed that too?
Hour. No.
Oh.
Not yet. just wait for it. It's okay. Maybe okay. An all-time best Joe Bidenism
really?
Ever. It's so funny because you can see it coming. You know the jokes that you can see walking their way in, and you're just like waiting for the punchline.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's pretty much every time Biden speaks now.
I was gonna say it's like that. Sadly, Joe Biden is the punchline, but you just it's we'll do that in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll share the video on the live stream as well.
Are you beyond the point with him? Like, I still feel like for me, when he speaks, when he talks, when he does things, I still am like, oh, please don't, like, oh, don't mess it up or don't be the punchline of the joke, just because.
Do you feel sorry for him?
I don't know if I would say sorry is the right word, but it's the same way that when my dad public speaks, I'm like, don't do anything stupid. Don't
Your dad
say anything
Joe Biden?
Stupid. No, but I think but I process it in the same
Mr.
way
Hannaford?
Of like he is our president still. I don't want him to look stupid in front of the rest of the world and make us look worse.
Well, I mean, I would think if it's a loved one, like a parent or something like that, or for a parent, certainly I know this, is watching your child go up in front of people, you brace yourself for the secondhand embarrassment that you will feel for that person that you care about and love.
Right.
And I would presume, Ethan, that you care about your country and you don't want your leader to be making a fool of
yes.
everybody involved.
So I'm asking, do you feel that still
no,
for him?
No,
not
no.
at all. It's like, whatever,
no.
burn, baby.
No. He has no business being the president of the United States, and there are a million reasons why he shouldn't be, and it's not as if it's not in the realm of possibility that he could rectify that for himself. He's in there because of Joe Biden, and that's shameful. So when he embarrasses himself, go on with it.
Fair enough.
It's the only thing we have coming out of this whole system of the Biden administration that gives me any pleasure at this point.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
All right, Ethan. How did you refer to your version of Wiggins America?
Oh, geez. I think something along the lines of younger and
younger,
more,
smarter, better
looking. Something like that, yeah. Younger, smarter, better. We can roll with that. That kind of has a nice roll off the tongue.
It has a nice ring to it.
Love you, Ryan. So, it's almost impossible, to not have a Wiggins America with some sort of connection to sports when I'm talking about it. But I think that this is a pretty cool connection. Recently, there has been some movement within college football that I don't think is coincidental. Perhaps it's because one person kind of started it and it's just kind of caught on. But there has been some serious movement within, like I said, specifically college football, of Christians all of a sudden putting it out there and, you know, declaring Jesus as their Lord and Savior on national television in interviews following wins, following losses. Not that this is necessarily a new thing, but it seems like
there's a boldness.
There, exactly. That's the perfect word for it. There is a boldness right now where, it's just catching a little bit more attention, I feel like. And we have seen this from a number of different big name college football athletes in the college football playoff, which you could argue is at the height of its popularity right now, with it just moving to 12 teams. More teams in it means more fans, more attention around it.
Go Irish.
Go Irish. And perfect transition. Riley Leonard, transfer quarterback for the Irish this year, had something really cool to say. Now, this wasn't in a post-game field interview. This was in a press conference following, just talking about the growth that this Notre Dame team has felt together this year.
One of the biggest bragging points about this team is we have like 40 guys show up to our Bible study sometimes on every Thursday, and that's really a credit to them. It started with like five guys, but it's grown to like 40, and this team is just so close, and everything that we do as a unit.
So something I think is really cool about this is because it's really easy after you win to say, hey, all glory to God, we win, we thank you, Jesus, for getting me here. But it's cool to see that in the trenches, like, these guys talk about, like, hey, this is actually like a weekly part of our, a daily part of our lives, and it's more than just like, oh, I won, so I'm going to give the praise to God.
I see people who are critical of the, I just want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, those people. They come up to a microphone, and they win a game, and they give glory to God for that. And the naysayers out there, I suspect that many of the naysayers don't have a strong faith walk by choice, whatever. But they're like, oh, you think Jesus made that ball find the end zone for your team because you guys prayed harder or you worked harder or whatever. You think God did that because God's a fan of your team. And I encourage people who hear that and are very skeptical of those comments to make sure that you listen to these players. And I encourage players to pay attention to phrasing, too. The talent that these individuals have, the biology that these individuals have, the place in life, the opportunity to play the game, that's what the glory is. That's what they're referring to when they're praising God for that. And the truth of the matter is, I've seen this a lot, too. It's not just people who are winning that are taking the spotlight that is on them and saying, you know, I just want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for this football game win.
I think it's even more meaningful when it's following a loss. Now, obviously, you know, ESPN, CBS, these networks aren't interviewing on the field, on the court, players from the losing team immediately after getting that raw reaction. So you don't tend to necessarily get that, like, oh, we just lost, I want to thank my Lord and Savior. But you do get that, and you are getting that in some of these post-game press conference interviews. And Boise State, one of the other teams that made the college football playoff, they lost to Penn State in the first round. And they're led by head coach Spencer Danielson. And he has had clearly a huge impact on his team, and he is very outspoken about his faith. And this is one of his players, Ahmed Hassanain, commenting on the impact that he's had on him this year.
First, I want to start off and say, all glory to Jesus Christ. He's the true champion. Coach D, you changed my life. You changed my life. I did not know God until I got to Boise State. And I serve a true champion. Jesus Christ is the only true God. He died, rose from the dead 3 days later. That's the champion that I serve. And thank you, Coach D. Like, seriously, you changed my life.
No one's going to argue that losing sucks, because losing does suck. But being able to recognize that there is more to life than the result of the game, and following probably the most heartbreaking loss of this kid's career, for him to be able to reflect and say, Coach, you changed my life, like, that's pretty freaking cool to me.
It's super powerful. And I think that being able to see, it's all about perspective. And, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian. Ethan, you're a Christian. Brad, you're a Christian. Obviously, Ryan is Christian as well. So we come from this walk of faith. We don't have a highly diverse kind of faith that exists on this show. And we talk about this because this is who we are. If we were of a different type of faith, we would talk about that. Because it's anybody who has a strong faith, that's foundational to who you are as a person, I would hope. Whatever the faith might be, but I think that perspective is so valuable when it comes to this particular. This is just a detail. This isn't sports, but you change the details, the perspective still needs to be the same. Like the first, the last. When it's your faith, everything else, like losing, was that a playoff game?
The
Boise
that,
State?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Losing a playoff game at that level, which, you know, the participation in and the money in the NCAA football program right now has never been bigger. Losing at that time is devastating. But when you have the perspective, when he's sitting there at that press conference and he takes the opportunity to say, like, all of this really sucks, but there's something that you need to know that I have. And taking that opportunity to say that, I feel strongly that there is a culture shift that is taking place that is bigger than just football, that is bigger than just a specific lane where you see winners, you know, thanking God for that win and, you know, carrying the wide receiver into the end zone or whatever it is. Brad, do you see culture across the board? People are just more bold everywhere, in my opinion, to be talking about their faith.
Yeah, it seems like people have tried it. Try doing what, you know, the secular humanist worldview has said. They've tried it. Well, listen, we'll be quiet. We'll let you guys do your thing. You do your thing. We'll do our thing and that. But over time, it's like we can't just keep being silent anymore. And I'm going to talk about what's in me and what's in my heart. And if you like what you see in me, then here's what it is. And let me tell you more about it. I mean, they're not just talking it. They're walking the walk.
I also think it's very important to remember that we have been listening to how people identify for 15 years now as the be all end all. And if you're not in that lane, you're supposed to sit down and shut up. You're supposed to, you need to know your place.
Yeah.
Especially you two white men. I've got the female thing going for me right now that maybe my voice is a little bit more important than the men that are out there. Of course, that's outrageous. It's stupid. It's ignorant. People are tired of sitting down and being quiet about who they are. And if we're going to listen, I'm not telling anyone else to shut up, but I'm also saying I'm not going to shut up. And I think you see these people when they get the opportunity to speak to America after a college playoff football game. They're like, I'm talking to America. I'm going to use this for something that is important to me. And I am unafraid.
Gives me hope for the future.
It's huge. The culture shift is huge. Let us know what you think. Andy Fry YouTube channel. You can leave a comment there. Also, vote in the poll. Should America pursue acquiring Greenland in some capacity? Yes or no? We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.